I want to read to you from the last book in the Bible and the last chapter. Because if you've got a Bible like mine, it's sort of a New Testament, the last book is the last Psalm, because they put Psalms after Revelation in my New Testament. I don't know why they've done that. But normally speaking, if you've got a proper Englishman's Bible, it should end at Revelation. And in this great 22nd chapter, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Glorious combination, isn't it? Jesus, the Spirit, and the Bride. Amen. It's a lovely combination. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I wonder if you heard that right. Sorry about that table, it might break under your weight. Are there some chairs around? Come and get some. Would you like to come and sit? It's a marvelous thing when you realize that the great invitation of God to every one of us is to come. This is the last great evangel in the Bible. Come! It's a marvelous word. Isn't it a glorious thing that the Lord Jesus isn't seeking to repel you? He isn't saying, now go. You read in the Bible, because you have to read these things there. It's the only book that tells us with certainty about destinies and things like that. So there is going to come a time when God's going to say to some people, go away. You had your opportunity, you stubbornly refused to accept it. Go. Terrible. I'm blessed God, the Bible doesn't end on that note. I thank him that it ends on the great note of calm. God's great heart opens wide, his arms stretch to capacity, all he knows to do, done. All his capabilities and abilities taxed and pointed and concentrated, leaving every one of us without one excuse. For all we have to do is to come, and he'll do the rest. And how about that? And this then is the great message of the Spirit and the Bride. They're saying, come. If you've been here on Saturday, we're very sorry you couldn't be, but if you'd have been here, I think it was Saturday, yes it was, we were thinking about the connection between water and the Spirit. We found it right in the beginning that the waters were upon, that there were the waters, and the Spirit of God was brooding over the waters. Now we've got the last book of the Bible, and it's the Spirit and the water, just the same. And the Lord is doing marvelous things, and this time we've not been given a view of that primeval state from which creation came, but we've been given a view of the new creation. The new Jerusalem, the new heaven, the new earth, the river flowing from under the throne of God. Bless God, we're told about it because this is the thing, this is the message. For the day, this is the glory of what it is. John was raised up and put on that island of Patmos to see the things that are. He saw them, they're there. And God is telling us that behind all things else in earth You listen to what I say now, we'll hear about Northern Ireland, and now we'll hear about the state of our economy. And you all start thinking about your bank balance. And you all wonder what's going to happen when we go into the common market. And you all think about 10 toes and I don't know what. And you wonder whatever's happening and where we're going and whether your scheme of profit is going to work out or not. And so on and so on and so on. And we get looking on things like that. And then God says, now look, get your eye off these material things. And see this. This is the thing that is. This is the message. You've been given a vision, a revelation in the Spirit. John was in the Spirit. And this is the thing that is in the Spirit. There's a river flowing in the Spirit. That's the thing that he's telling you. From under the throne of God tonight, under the sovereign majesty of God, under his control and direction, in his will and for his purposes, no matter what the state of the world or what the condition of the age, though men say, oh, it's ever so dark, it's pitch black, it's 5 minutes to midnight, excuse me, that's only half a minute to midnight. We may have got as close as that. I don't know, perhaps you do. But the whole glorious truth is this. There's the river flowing. There's the golden city. There's the throne of God, and we're to be about Father's business. And the great cry of the Spirit and the bride. The bride, of course, is the company of those that are deeply and eternally in love with Jesus Christ. Yes, actually in love with a man not in the flesh, not a man of flesh, with all the possibilities of flesh and all the hopes that some people build up about marriage and union in the flesh. But this glorious one in the Spirit, with whom we've fallen in love, who has given his life for us, has paid the price for us, has redeemed us under God, and we've received his message, and the glory of his life is in us, and we've drunk of the river ourselves, and we are married to Jesus, and we're saying, now, come on! Come on, Jesus has sent his messenger to testify in the churches, and the Spirit and the bride says, they say, come. Come in the churches. Come. And the bright and morning star will be the dawn of a new day for you. You won't keep saying it's 5 minutes to midnight. You say it's a very starry night. It's light out here. Yeah, amen. You see, it's gorgeous. The water's running. You'll come out of the gloom. You'll come out of the desolation. You'll come out of the grumbling that you call prayer. You'll start rejoicing in the Lord. You'll start praising the Lord. This is right. I know, because this is what happened to me. And you're really in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the bride can say is, come. 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 Not telling you now to look at the little water mingled with blood that flowed out of the side of a riven Redeemer. We're telling you to look at the river of water that flows from under the throne. For the redemption is complete, and the King is on the throne, and the river is flowing, and whosoever will may come and drink. That's what God's telling you. Amen. Come and drink. You see, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Well, who's he talking to? Who's she speaking to? She's not particularly speaking to anybody, is it? She's calling out as the mouthpiece of God, the great word, come. And you hear her say, come? Am I being invited to come? Yes. If you're thirsty, come. That's all that matters. Come and drink of this glorious river of the water of life that is flowing in majestic strength from the heart of God. Nothing can stay it. A sinful world, a dead church, if you like to put it, whatever you want to say about that, though the church can never be dead. Not the church. Hallelujah. unbelieving believers, you say, well, that seems a contradiction, but there it is, about these things, amen, it doesn't matter what it is, glory, the rivers flow. And you might say, but Jimmy, I'm in the Sahara, you know, well, the river will reach you. You might say, well, I'm in the frozen north. Well, the river will reach you can ask me. Reach me. You see, rivers don't run where it freezes. Well, they don't freeze here. This is a tremendous thing. It doesn't matter where you are, beloved. It doesn't matter, really, it doesn't. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He caused the river to flow. Amen. And nothing's going to stop it. Nothing whatsoever. I'm sure as you're in this room tonight, you can drink of it. But it's only for the thirsty. Let him that is athirst come. And of course, you will know that one of the prime reasons that we're in this world is to make people thirsty. You see, Jesus didn't call us the salt of the earth for nothing. You see, we get on prophecy and we're told, oh, the salt, it preserves the lump from going bad. You see, all on second coming. They've forgotten the first coming of the Holy Ghost. That's the real trouble. We're here to make people thirsty, not just to preserve the world from going absolutely corrupt. We may be doing that. I don't know about that. We must leave that to God. He sees that. What I know is that we're in this world as salt to make people thirsty. I don't know whether people get thirsty when they meet you, or if they do, whether they get thirsty for the things of the world. They may do if they look at your clothes, or listen to your talk, or where you go, or anything like that. They may get thirsty for the things of the world. I don't know whether they do or not. But we are here to make people thirsty for our blessed Lord. So they'll say, my, I'm thirsty. So that we can say, well, now just come and drink. Come and drink. Isn't it wonderful? It's universal. It's absolutely down to a person's needs. But really, do you want to drink? Really, do you want to drink when you know what it means? I want to take three instances, well-known scriptures in our New Testament that are concerned with drinking, and to see what the Lord means when he talks about drinking. You will know, if you are a Bible reader, and the only way to be a Bible student is to be a Bible reader, not buy books about the Bible. You're in only finding out what somebody else studied. You're not the student, the other person has been the student. You're just blotting paper. That's right. The only way to study the Bible is to read it. Yeah. You know, I took this lesson to heart when I was quite a young fellow. I don't know how young I was. I used to live down here in Kent. That's right. I was in the southeast corner of England then, and tucked away in Kent there. And we used to have all kinds of men come to us and minister to us. They were great on Bible knowledge. We never had a lot of people speaking about the Holy Ghost, but we had a lot of people. They used to give us great expositions of the Word. And I remember one dear man. He came and I don't know where he stayed that day. I don't think he stayed with us in our house. But anyway, I remember walking up the place we call Chapel Hill to go to church with him on the Sunday night. And this great man, we were walking beside him in awe, you know, to walk beside such a great, he was a real Bible teacher. He had a tremendous knowledge of the book. And he proceeded to cross-examine us, you see, walking up this hill. There were about four of us, and he came up and he expected us to know all that the Gospel of John contained, sort of thing. And then he sort of, when he got there and we'd made our little answers, he started to get expansive. And he said, some people make me sick. I should never forget him, big man. And he said, some people make me sick, he said. If they want to know anything about the Book of the Revelation, they go and buy a book about the Book of the Revelation instead of getting down to the Book of the Revelation. try it. That's what they do. Then he proceeded to ask us what the chapters of Revelation contain. Oh, we were expected to be on our toes in those days. We really were. And thank God for this kind of thing. So if you've been a Bible student by being a Bible reader, you will know that John, of the Bible writers, he's more concerned with the life that we live, the life that we have, and the life that we live. When he speaks about the Holy Spirit, it's always concerned with the life that we live. That's what he's concerned about. And whilst other writers may be concerned about it, they don't write about it to the extent that John wrote about it. I can't stop and point it all out to you tonight. But we will see, having commenced reading in one of John's writings, that is the book of the Revelation, what I mean if we go to one of the other great writings of John, and that is his Gospel. And we'll turn to the Gospel of John. And in this great book, in the fourth chapter, you will see that the Lord Jesus has chosen to go and sit on a well. Now notice the connection between water and the Spirit. He has chosen to go and sit on the well, and he's waiting for a woman. Think of the bride. He's waiting for a woman at Sychar's well. She comes there and she says it's Jacob's well. She didn't know that at that moment it had turned to Jesus' well. She didn't know these kinds of things. The thing that's behind this, beloved, is so tremendous. God open all our eyes to see what the Bible is really doing. How that in the marvel and the miracle of God, he takes things and he invests them with a new meaning. He comes to a place, he handles something, he goes somewhere, and immediately it's got a new association, new connection, new emphasis. And so the Lord sits on Sychar's well, and he waits for this woman to come along. And it says in verse 7 that this woman is a woman of Samaria, and she's come to draw water. And Jesus says to her, "Give me the drink. Give me the drink," he says. The woman of Samaria said unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria?" For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me the drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman said unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. That the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life." Amen. Are you thirsty tonight in this way? Are you? And I want you to see this great interchange of truth here. Are you as thirsty for Jesus as Jesus is thirsty for you? For he said to her, "Please give me drink. I'm thirsty." It is a wonderful thing, you know. This is one of the glorious things that the Bible reveals, that God took a handful of dust in the beginning, and he made a man, and from him he took a rib and formed woman, and he gave them to each other, and then he used to come down because he was thirsty for them, and just walk with them who had been sitting and dwelling amidst the cherubim and the seraphim. That was his usage, and he formed a man and a woman that he might come down and have this great drinking of their company, or the delight of their heart, want to share fellowship with them and walk with them, have them all for his earth. Wasn't that a tremendous thing? He used to come there like that. And this is really the great truth that the Lord Jesus is saying. He comes to this woman, he says, give me the drink. She tried to satisfy other men's thirsts in other directions for years. And now she meets a man and he says, you will give me the drink. Give me the drink. Because he wants to show to her that he has that within him and for her that will satisfy her, and that he can give unto this woman in a completely different realm from that in which he'd been thinking and moving and living, nay, dying all her days. And if you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, give me the drink, thou wouldest have asked of him. What a compliment he paid this woman. He said, it's only your ignorance, really. It's only your ignorance. If you really knew. Sometimes I look out over men and women and often sit before them, perhaps, as I've done this day here in your London, and just sat before them and talked with them and poured over them, and inwardly my heart has melted for them in their need. If only they could have it, and the glory and wonder of it is to be able to say to them with confidence, though they be bound by Satan and that for years, and though they be under the possession, domination of some evil power, and they're all twisted up, to be able to say to them, oh, you can have this if you want it. You can have it. The ignorance. And people say to me, but I didn't know. Nobody told me. I think whatever the church doing, what's it doing? I want to say to you, this beloved, not many scolding attitudes. I could spend the rest of my days in London, your London, where you live, though you don't all come from London. There is need all around you. Thirsting? I don't know what they're thirsting for. I haven't got a clue. Jesus comes and he says, if you're thirsty, he didn't even say to this woman, come. He's gone and sat on a well and he's waited for her to come. Just waiting for her. Knew she'd have to come somewhere to that place, sometime, glory be to God, sometime. I wonder if it's time for you tonight. Sat there and said, if you only knew, you would have asked of me. I know you would. Oh, if it only had dawned on everybody. This is why he sent this tremendous river in the Spirit. I want to tell you, it's in this building tonight, flowing to meet the needs of us all. That's why he's done it. If only you knew, and he would give you, he doesn't come with some pitcher to let down a well, to let down into a well there's a river flowing. You not got a little pitcher or a bucket or something? He said, you ask of me, and I'll give you living water. It'll be in you a well, springing up unto everlasting life. That's what he said. And if you and I are going to have this life that's going to last, you've got to take this drink and have this well. You've got to drink of Jesus. In this glorious manner, the gift of God, the gift of God. You needn't bother really about thinking of the particular gift. We may say a little bit more about this if time permits. There's no clock here. I'll look at my own watch. Don't you look at yours. I'll tell you. It's about an hour's time. You see, God's been so really demeaned by the people often that don't intend to demean. The real thing about God is that he's all gift. It's all give, give, give with God. You didn't know this. When you were born, he gave you some breath to put in your lungs. You didn't know that. Not then. You know since, if we've all even got common sense, that he gives us the very breath that we breathe. He starts us on this basis. We're told when we're born that somebody's given birth to us. It's all gift, 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 gift. Before you know where you are, you've got milk given to you, bread given to you, clothes given to you, home given to you, love, I trust, given to you. Though that's a sad, sad thing. I meet so many who've never had love given to them. Money given to you, education given to you. What else have you come into the world for? Give, 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 give. Hallelujah. Jesus comes and he says, if you knew, you'd have asked. If you knew the gift of God, we could start giving labels about these gifts and all that sort of thing, but what does it matter? What the Lord Jesus wants you to do is to come all athirst inside and drink 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 and drink. And if you'd only drunk properly in the beginning, you could have been away out there in these great things of God. One of the great tragedies, and I realize that in a meeting like this, I'm probably speaking to people who are teachers and preachers and all sorts of people like that. It's lovely. I'm talking to myself too. One of the great dangers in Bible preaching, interpretation, and so on, is our limited approach to the truth. It is a common error amongst Bible interpreters. Please, I'm not throwing stones at anybody except my own stupid self. I existed in this realm for so long. My own self. To think that because it isn't all said in one place and it's referred to somewhere else, it means it's a second experience. I'll show you what I mean before I'm through. But I want you to follow it. This is a fact with so many of us. It's on this ground, especially on this ground of the Holy Ghost. But what Jesus does, remembering when he was on the earth as a man, he moved about amongst men and women with limited understanding, limited capacity for taking in what he said. He would take up a thing and he would say one thing about which he could have said a million things. But he'll say one thing about it. Now to this woman, her great need was to have this great yawning depth in her. This deep, deep thing inside that she hadn't got a clue how or where to get satisfied, that should be met. And into her should come a glorious new quality of spiritual life that would spring up inside her and satisfy her emotions and satisfy her mind and satisfy her heart's desires and fill her imagination that it wasn't any longer polluted with other twisted things and fill her until she was utterly satisfied. I never went seeking here or there or somewhere else to get these deep human things inside, for mark it, as sure as you're human, you are a spirit. And you've got to be satisfied, and you're a spirit existing in a body as a soul, and that soul of you's got to be satisfied with all its capabilities, with all its potential. It's all got to be satisfied. Somewhere you'll go to some man, you'll go to some woman, you'll go to something, you'll go to some circumstances, somewhere you'll drink at, somewhere. Glory be to God, the Lord Jesus comes. And he comes to answer the deep unspoken cries and yearnings in the human heart that doesn't know what it does want. And in the love of his heart, he doesn't confuse the mind. He doesn't say something else. He wants one particular thing accomplished in your life. He wants you to drink of him. Until, beloved, everything inside of you is now a living, rising, unsullied purity of eternal life. That's what he wants. And that's what the Holy Ghost has come for. Amen. I bless God for this. I shall never cease to thank God for this. But when I first heard, really, about the Holy Ghost, I heard about the Holy Ghost on this level. That's the level I heard about the Holy Ghost. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, that I could drink of him and I could receive from him. And oh, what a transformation when the Lord did this. But you see, he's other things to say that he couldn't say to that woman. And so we go on in the 7th chapter. And when we get to the 7th chapter, he's still on this great theme of drinking. You see, you can drink and you can say, ah, me, now I'm satisfied. That's fine. I've got it. I'm in, you know. Amen. This is lovely. But that won't satisfy him. Praise God. Fancy only drinking till you're full. Listen. He's not just thinking of having a well. That's a bit limited. You see, not just an inward spring. That's only personal. It's absolutely real and wonderful. But in chapter 7, he's talking again. And this time, he's at the feast. And you know what happens? He's standing in verse 37, in the last day of the feast, the great day, the day they were all looking for, the day that headed it all up, the crowning point. And lo, at the crowning point, he didn't go at the beginning, you remember. You'll have to read the 7th chapter to get all the details. I'm trusting that you're Bible readers and know more about it than I do. But the whole thing is that at the beginning, he didn't go up when everybody else said, now, aren't you going up to Jesus? He didn't say no. He just simply said, well, of course, you can go up when you like. Your time's always ready. He couldn't do what he liked. He could only do what the Father told him to do. He didn't worry about what his brothers, so-called in the flesh, said or thought. He was living under a different rule altogether. And in the midst of the feast, Jesus goes up, waits till the last day of the feast, and then in verse 37, he comes right into full view. He's in perspective now. And he's got something to say about drinking. If any man thirst, Let him come unto me and drink. I'm glad he said, man, and this, some men as they say, oh, this is only for women. It was a woman at the well, you see. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. Now we're told what he's really talking about. See, it wasn't said in the fourth chapter. He knew this isn't all put in the fourth chapter. He applied it to this woman that felt a great big yearning ache inside that never seemed to get satisfied. Now he's standing out in the midst of the feast, and he's got to be pretty theological here. He's got to be right in the center of it all. He's got to be real biblical, you see, and technical. So he stands out here. It's absolutely right. You find the Bible's absolutely consistent on whichever level you take it. And he stands there and he says, and we're told, this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given when he was standing there. because Jesus was not yet glorified. But now Jesus has been glorified, as we sang it in that hymn. Jesus is glorified and gives the Comforter, his Spirit, to abide in all his members here. The Holy Ghost to me is given. Rejoicing, God sent down from heaven. And he says, now, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink, and out of your belly will flow living water, rivers of living water. Amen. And he said, this is they that believe on me according to Scripture. And you're not believing biblically unless you're believing drinkingly. Amen. Come to him and drink. So that, beloved, and what a wonderful thing it is, this abundance, this superabundance of the Holy Ghost, greater than I, God himself coming to me, overflows my littleness and swamps my mere humanity and runs out of me as a river. I'm saturated with God. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm overflowing with the Spirit. I'm full of the Spirit. I'm flowing with the Spirit. Glory be to the name of the Lord. That's what Jesus wants. Amen. Do you believe that? Amen. He wants you on this earth to be a person through whom the rivers are flowing. Because you're drinking, 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 drinking. The waters are rising up in you. They're filling you. You're satisfied. God has done his great work in you. The Spirit has come and just done all that Jesus said he would do. And you ask nothing more along this line for yourself, because he's come and he's filled you with his glory, as Paul said in the Romans letter, that whom he justified, then he also glorified. Amen. Justified you at Calvary, glorified you at Pentecost. That's the great truth. And he's doing this tremendous work of grace, and you've become, as it were, not only a full person, but a fountainhead. You've not just got a spring in you. We know the fountainhead is him who's inside. It's the Lord. But people don't see that. They see you. And from your innermost being, you can use what polite term you like, flowing rivers of living water that you can pass on and flow with what has satisfied you. Now the Holy Ghost now has got you so completely in his hand, and you're under his control, that he can flow through you and it's still pure. It was living when it came, it's living when it goes. It's living when it flowed in, it's living as it flows out. Uncontaminated. No human ideas about it, no human filth about it, no mere humanity about it. The living, glorious Spirit of God, it's wonderful. I don't know how to express it. It either is or it isn't. You either know it or you don't. It's in you and it's flowing through you. Words can't describe it. Jesus said, drink. That's all there is in it. God has clearly and deliberately put it in the realm that's beyond the intellect. And yet, it's beyond it only as it suffuses it and overflows it. Glory. And it'll flow through your intellect and it'll flow through your imagination. It'll flow through your feelings. It'll flow and it'll be clean, fit to drink. Amen. When I was out in India the other year, I went, I moved about a bit in the land, and great rivers in India, and they're all vile. They're sewers. They're filthy. Everyone, unspeakably filthy. The great arteries, the great veins, I was going to say, the great arteries of the country, all filthy. The country's filthy. I'm not condemning it, I'm only telling you, it's one vast, gaping wound, it's one sore, it's one total pollution. That's right. Somebody sitting in the front row was out in India a long time before I was, so I'm only confirming what she saw. This is the whole thing. What a terrible thing. The main arteries of communication from soul to soul in England and in the world is filth. God wants you and me, beloved, to flow with the Holy Ghost. Oh, he wants us to flow. And men and women can have an opportunity of life, of drinking. Amen. They can come and drink. No wonder, you see, it's the bride, the pure love. She's not like some ill-used Samaritan woman. She's a glorious bride, and she's looking at the Lord. I, Jesus, have sent my messenger to testify in the churches. And she joins with the Spirit, and she says, come, 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 come and drink. The river's flowing. Hallelujah. Can you say that? That's what it's got to be. God help us. Are you so thirsty that the river's flowing, flowing, flowing? Just come and drink, man, he says. Just drink. One great, glorious fixation of the heart on Jesus. One great coming of the soul. One great response to the love of him. And I come and I'll drink of him, and I'll drink, and I don't care what happens. I don't care who thinks it's right or it's wrong. To drink of Jesus, eternal life, God's everlasting purity, God the Son, born for me. Hallelujah. Come to me. Come to my well. The depths of my degradation. And met me there. And purified the spring of my being. That the Holy Ghost can flow through me. Originally, as he does from the throne, as on that Pentecostal occasion, God poured him out. Amen. Only the filth of a man's flesh and the filth of nation. And the filth of everything was purged from them. Nobody counted anything as their own. They just wanted to be there and flow and pulse and go with the river of God as though it came forth with the force of the blood that flowed from the heart of Jesus on the cross. And they counted him, that Holy Ghost, all sacred and glorious, as though he'd come from the heart of God, and so he had. The flow through them. Glory be to God. God wants you out of the way, man, out of the way, woman. Yet there, he wants you there. It's got to be from you, it's got to be through you. Flowing. Unless, what chance have they got but listen to you? What chance have they got but live with you? What chance have they got when you gather them round you? What chance? Jesus was so concerned about this, he wouldn't speak unless he could speak spirit. He said, the words I speak are spirit and life. They listened to your words, they listened to them yesterday, did they? Listen to them today. Oh, God, the Spirit's got to flow through me. That's what God's all about. That's why you've got being. You've no right to existence apart from this. The blessed Spirit of God should flow through you. Flow through you. A man or a woman gets beside themselves. What can they do? How can they express it? If it isn't so, it's a bubble, it's a bauble. It's all a mere deception. Say, well, now that's marvelous. Yes, it's wonderful. But this isn't the last occurrence of this great truth of drinking in the Scriptures. The next occurrence is in 1 Corinthians 12. And in 1 Corinthians 12, this is what we read. Verse 13. For by one Spirit, though this is the Greek word in, it's in the Greek preposition here, this is the baptism in the Spirit, in one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we've all been made to drink into one Spirit. Amen. There it is. Into this great new body of life. It's not only that I have eternal life in me, but that I am in the person, the body of eternal life. It's in the Son. So says John in his epistle. God has given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. Amen. Personally, I must have the Son to have life. But gloriously, I must be in the Son to function in this life. Amen. And I'm baptized in the Spirit, into this body, that I might drink into this one Spirit. And I do drink of this one Spirit. And you see, you're not only to drink, get this into your mind. Jesus couldn't say it all at once. He couldn't say what he raised up Paul to say, because the Holy Ghost hadn't yet been given. But this is all tied up with the drinking. There's no reason why you shouldn't have had it right from the very beginning. None at all. Same drinking. Doesn't say, now have drink number one. Now have drink number two. Now have drink number three, you see. Have blessing number one, blessing number two, blessing number three. Now if you get me like that, I should want blessing number four and blessing number five and blessing number six. Amen. Amen. This is the tremendous thing about it. It may come firstly, secondly, thirdly. I don't know how it comes or when it comes, but it'll only come through drinking. Amen. And God says, I'm a drink in him. Jesus couldn't say it to the woman at the well. There was no revelation of the body then. I drink till I'm not only conscious of having this glorious life rising in me, but I also drink till I know it's running out of me, and I also drink till I know I've really drunk myself into this body. Amen. And all the glorious fullness and function of the body is in me. And oh, it's so marvelous that I belong to this body of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is when you drink. The trouble with some of us is that we stop drinking too quick. we get satisfied too early. You see, mind you, it goes this way. We know we're really terrible sinners, really. We know that unless this fountain inside of us doesn't get changed, we will pollute the very chairs we sit on. Really. Spoil everybody. We know that. When we get honest, it's a good thing to get honest. See. And so you see, we're concentrated on ourselves and on our own need. And so that's all we're concerned about. Oh Lord, change this state of me inside. Change it. Oh, the pollution of my thoughts, Lord. Change it. He says, just drink. Drink of me. Hallelujah. Glory. Just drink of me, oh Lord. I drink of thy eternal life. I drink of wrath. That fountain of purity that rose in me, Jesus, as a man. Oh Lord, that eternal source of life. Can it change me? He says, just drink. Just drink. Glory be to God. Just drink. Amen. Lord, Lord, how about this man? How about that man? How about the needs of the multitude? These people I live amongst and work amongst, Lord. Can it be for them? He says, yes. Let it flow through you. Let it flow through you. Do you want a new job in your firm? Become an office cleaner. You want to be the managing director, that's your trouble. Jesus was a foot cleaner. You read John 13. It's so marvelous. You're looking for a rise in your salary, especially in view of going to the common market, everything's going to be twice as dear. You see, beloved, how about these men, these women? I thirst. If you're only really so thirsty for them as well as for yourself, eh? Lord, glory. Let it flow through you, brother. Let it flow through you, sister. Not a torrent of words, but a pure, wonderful spirit. So that people can see you and want to regale themselves of the same glorious life and drink in what you've got. Oh, glory. Has ever anybody said to any time, I want what you've got. Have they? One of the most tragic things sometimes comes back to my mind sometimes I think I've ever heard was a home I went into one of the stately homes of the British Isles, and these people had really turned to the Lord, and ever so many people had been amongst them and talked to them about this and that and the other, and the Holy Ghost, very popular thing these days, talk about the Holy Ghost. I heard some say, everywhere I go they're talking about the move of the Spirit. Well, it's a precious thing, I suppose. So I sat down and talked to these people. God moved upon them and God did to them things. And it said, you know, but all these other people, they thought, now I've been in their homes, Mr. North, and they had nothing that I wanted. See, that's the thing that comes. Yeah. Glory. This is it. What's flowing through you? Amen. God's got to be able to drink. Men have got to be able to drink. Because it's your drinking. Rivers are flowing. Praise the name of the Lord. But you see, it's more than that. In this great Corinthian chapter, you will know, it's the chapter that talks about the gift of the Spirit. I said that earlier, when we start talking about God, it's all gift, 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 gift. Everything's gift. Some people say it's wrong to ask for the gifts, ask for the giver. Well, of course, if they want to write their own Bibles, you must let them have their own Bibles. Because we're told in this section, you are to covet the gifts, and covet them very earnestly and sincerely. You are to ask for them. Of course you are. Oh, it sounds so pious, all that other talk. It's utterly wrong. Dear, oh dear, oh dear, when will God bring us to our senses? I know that you can become almost a raving lunatic talking about gifts, 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 gifts. That can be as wrong as never talking about them. But beloved, to have drunk right into this body and say, Lord, I'm not me anymore. Not really. I'm not me anymore. I'm you. I'm just a part of you. That's what I am, Lord. I'm a member of you. See? That's right. Now, Lord, what do you want to do through me? What do you want to give me, Lord? What do you want to give me? So I've got some marvelous gifts I want to give you. Amen. Say, well, Lord, I'm going to have them. And don't say, I want this, and I want that, and I want that one, and I want that one, and I want that one, and I want that one. Don't start that way. Start this way. Lord, please, I have what you give me. What you give you, Lord. Afterwards, you can start earnestly coveting the best. Start with ones that are not quite so good, if you can make the comparison. Yeah, see, that's the people think they're very superior. They're only going to have the best gifts. What they want is a pin sticking in them. it's just so in the Bible. But you see, they'd already got the others. That's why you said covet the best ones. Don't you see? Well, we read the Bible upside down. We read the Bible upside down. They may not have used what we'll call the lesser ones, if we may. They may not have used them properly, but they've got them. Now he says, reach out for the higher ones. Isn't that right? Yeah. But so we live in 1972, so we think we're going to ask for the higher gifts. Let me ask you, have you got the lesser ones, the lower? Have you got those? Everybody wants to be an apostle. Paul. Or being a John that comes to be the minister, John Mark. Do you mean that they? Oh, God save us from this utter pride. God save us. Sometimes when I'm dealing with people, you know, and they really want the Holy Ghost, and they're really thinking about the Spirit, and if I think somewhere in the back of my mind that they may have some objection, they might have come through the best circles. This tongues business, we don't want this. So, if I get it in my mind, suddenly, you know, God lets me know a lot, he tells me all sorts of things. And I say to them, you got any objection to speaking in tongues? See. And if they say yes, I say, oh, I'm not going to pray with you. You're not an artist, is what you are. That's only if they've got an objection. I mean, I don't set all that great store on it, but you can't allow people to have any objections and reservations. I mean, you've been baptized in water. Huh? You have you? When you got to baptism and said, "Now, excuse me, you say, well, excuse me, I've got an objection to getting my right elbow wet." He said, "Excuse me, madam, I can't baptize you in this." "I've got reservations. I've got something on the back of my head." That's it. Laugh at your silly self. But that's the way that people come. I want to tell you, that's the way they go. You come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I've come to drink. I've come to drink. That's all I've come for." And if you're thirsty, you'll come. That's the great call of the bride and the Spirit. She says with the Holy Ghost, "Come, come, come. The Lord, I've come. Drink," he says, "drink. Oh, open up with gusto, open up to the depth of your being. You give me great joy at times to say to people, 'God, receive with joy. Receive like a baby. Receive with joy, drinking like a baby, like a mother's breast and drinking in the precious milk. Go on, drink. Don't wrestle, don't struggle. Just open and drink. Glory.'" That's it. If you treat God as though he's going to poison you, you'll get nowhere. That's right. I'm being absolutely earnest. This is the way so many people come to the Lord. So if you're not careful, you know, you won't. I praise the Lord. It got me so deeply desperate in the end that I didn't care what it did. "Lord, I just want, oh, you God, I want to be here. I want to." You lose your friends, they could have said. Well, perhaps I made that way. I didn't think too much about that. I certainly lost some. If they'd have known, they would have said, "You'll be denounced from the pulpit in your church," because I was. But I didn't stop to consider that. I don't know why. I suppose the Lord made me just thirsty enough. See? And, I could tell you all the kind of things that people said to me. Long time ago now, bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Live to see some of those who withheld and mourned and objected. Come in. Sat in here too. Yeah, that's right. Bless the name of the Lord. Ah, it's wonderful. Have you really drunk of Jesus? You really got to come. I tell you what to do. Come as a naked spirit. Take off everything else. Let everything else go. Come with all your needs. I don't know what you needed tonight. I know what Jesus wants. And I know what you need if you're going to function properly as a member of the body of Jesus Christ. You've got to have a gift or gifts of the Spirit. You've got to. And they're all listed in this chapter. But they're so plainly stated in this chapter, these, that's sufficient for you. Amen. And you should go in, and you've got to have it, beloved. All your inhibitions will go. There's all... they've got to. And that's right, isn't it? Now, I tell you what to do. Once you're in this great realm of the gifts of the Spirit, whatever you do, keep flowing. See? Drink. Satisfy. Flow. Function. Fullness. Flowing. Function. Whatever you do, keep flowing. Keep flowing. Amen. That's because somebody indoors said boo to you, shut up. Or somebody takes objection. Don't shut up because of that. You keep your spirit flowing. Flowing, flowing. Love to Jesus, love to man, love of all that the Lord's done within you. Amen. Come, friends. How long ago was it when you first came to drink of Jesus and you knew he did so much for you? Let me ask you now, is the spring rising clear in your heart? Is it tonight? Eh? Is it? No blockages, no obstructions. Sin hasn't come in to bind you, block you, blind you, have it? You've not let it, have you? You haven't gone to drink at another source, have you? Jesus was very careful where this woman was concerned when she thought she was dead. Sir, he said, go and call your husband. Let's get this blockage cleared away. If you drink of me, I've got to be your husband now. Let's get rid of all these others. You're married to the wrong husband in your idea. Come on, you've got to belong to my bride. Hallelujah. Don't call your husband, you see. And then he said, get rid of your stupid religious ideas. Sorry, I put it this way. Jesus wouldn't say this, but then I would fall in definite grief. You see, he said, now get rid of your stupid religious ideas too. She said, all men say here in this mountain, you say at Jerusalem. He said, woman, not here, not there. Father seeking you, sent me here. Don't turn it aside on your teachings and things that you're trying to peddle to me. And he pleaded with her. He said, woman, believe me. Believe me, woman. It's your only chance if you don't believe him. What's the use of every other belief you've gathered through the year? Drink of me. Amen. Glory. Now that was in Samaria. So he didn't say, of course they're only Samaritans, I better go and talk like that. No, not next time. He goes right up in the headquarters of Jewry. Right up in the temple. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Excuse me. This is right. It goes up there. And when they're all going through their tremendous time, you know, you say in Jerusalem, he says, as though this woman was tracking him, saying, I'm going to see whether this man's really on. Said, all right, follow me right to the temple, lady. Goes up to the temple. Right there, he says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. Hallelujah. They've been drinking of the Bible all their lives. They've never got satisfied yet. Had they? The Bible they had, of course. They've been drinking of this, that, and the other all their lives. Come to me. Drink. Come, drink. And I reckon the lady would have said, yes, he's true, through, and through. There's no difference between any man or woman on the face of the earth. The river of God is flowing from the throne. You've got to know that you've drunk deeply of that eternal river. It's as though he's saying, let it find clear passage through you, man. Let it find clear passage through you. Go on, let it run right through. Don't be a terminus. Let it run through you. That's what I want, the Spirit flowing. Think of it all over the world. We sometimes sing a chorus. All over the world, the Spirit. Oh, someone else knows. Do you know? Oh, we'll sing it in a minute. The Lord, all over the world. It's happening. God wants it to happen here. It's got to happen. Something's got to transform this England of ours. It's about as dead as any country could be. That's right. Something's got to happen. And it doesn't happen through the children of God, especially those that say they're baptized in the Spirit. Whatever's going to happen. And beloved, get in the river and get into the fullness of it. Let the Lord flood your life. Let him flood your consciousness. Let him flood everything inside of you until he's unified and integrated your whole personality within yourself and then integrated you into God, in the body. And you're just functioning and flowing. Amen. Prophesying, moving, discerning. God's doing great processes, speaking in tongues and interpreting, moving as God says the church should move. It's got to come. Well, I'm going to ask you this. Has it come to you? Has it come to you? Has it come to you? How far have you gone? Amen. I hope if I live to be 90, the river will be flowing at 90 as it is at, I won't tell you what age. I hope it's flowing. I want it to keep flowing. And some of you are too near 90 now without it flowing. Some of you, the river's got to flow, beloved. Hallelujah. Are you ready to dedicate yourself? Are you ready to hand yourself over to the plan of God? Because you stand on the brink of the river that flows from the throne. It starts from a golden throne and down a golden street, beloved. Are you ready to stand there and say, come, come? Could you stand up now and say, come, come? Is your heart saying, oh, this is it, sister, this is what you need. Brother, this is what you need. Come. If you only knew the joys, the pleasures, the power, the fullness, the glory that's in the river of the Spirit of God, you would have come years ago. Yes. Hallelujah. All right? Well, come and drink. Come on. You come and drink.